17. Flying by instruments because visibility was so poor, Jaina dropped out of the smoke and followed the navigation beacon through a gaping hangar mouth into more smoke. Though she had not seen any flames on her approach, it seemed to her all of Urwuk Rora must have been burning to produce such a pall. She hoped it was all rising from below. On the way in, she had picked up some comm chatter suggesting the fires were spreading most ferociously in the forest's mid-levels, where they could draw more oxygen from surrounding layers. A pair of marshalling beacons appeared in the haze, directing her to turn right and slow down. Jaina grimaced and obeyed, realizing that in her haste to catch Luke, she had entered the hangar far too quickly. All around her, vague, blocky forms materialized into stealth X's, fueling sleds and armament racks. No sooner had Jaina set her craft down than a shaggy crew of Wookiees was swarming over it, refueling and checking weapons status. She disengaged her suit connections and extracted herself from the crash webbing, then popped the canopy and sprang out of the cockpit, landing beside a confused-looking Wookiee holding an access ladder.
"Where's Luke Skywalker?" she asked.
The Wookiee pointed through the smoke toward the back of the hangar, where Jaina could barely see a squadron of pilots climbing into their stealth X's. She took off at a run, dodging hover sleds and technicians and coughing on the acrid air. The smoke was less thick inside the hangar than it was outside, but it was clear that the Jedi would be changing bases after their run. She caught up to Luke just as R2, memory enhanced to help fly stealth X's, was being lowered into the droid socket. Jaina had not calmed or reached out to let Luke know she was coming, but he did not seem surprised as he turned to greet her. "Hello, Jaina. I hope everything is under control at the Academy." Jaina nodded.
"Jag and Zek are looking after things until we can get some more Jedi Knights there. Most of the GAG troopers were pretty appalled at Serpa's orders, and the rest aren't exactly spoiling for a fight, especially after we returned the lightsabers to the Wampas."
"Good." Luke seemed distracted, as though his mind was anywhere but on the coming fight. "Still, Serpa's battalion isn't all we have to worry about. If Jason is willing to do this..." He let the sentence trail off and waved vaguely around them, the gesture taking in all of Kashyyyk.
"I understand, but there's something you need to know, and I have to tell you in person."
Jaina looked around the hangar, trying to pick out a human form that wasn't wearing a Stealth X flight suit.
"Is Ben here? He should hear this too."
Luke shook his head. "He's supposed to be on his way from Coruscant."
"Supposed to be?" Jaina asked.
To her alarm, Luke did not seem at all curious about what she had come to tell him.
"Ben is overdue?"
"Not exactly," Luke said. "I sent a message to him, after we left Kuat. But I can't tell where he is. Ben is shutting himself off from the Force again." Jaina really didn't like the way Luke was sounding. "Your parents left last night," Luke added, as though he thought they might have been a substitute for Ben. "They have a plan."
"They always have a plan," Jaina said. "Uncle Luke, are you feeling all right? You seem kind of, well, distracted."
Luke glanced up into the smoke. "We're going after your brother." "I don't like doing it."
"He's the one who started this," Jaina said. "But if you're hesitant because he's your nephew..."
"I'm not." R2-D2 whistled down from the droid socket, indicating it was time for their flight check. "I'll be right there," Luke said. He turned back to Jaina. "What did you need to tell me?"
Maybe now isn't a good time," Jaina said. "It looks like you've got enough on your mind."
"I'm the Jedi Grand Master, Jaina," Luke said. "I know how to keep my concentration." His tone wasn't exactly sharp, but it was commanding, and Jaina knew that trying to hold back now would only distract him even more.
"It's about Alima," she said. "She took out a freighter crew at Roku Depot shortly after Mara died."
"That's not surprising," Luke said. "Roku Depot is on the way to Terrafon, and we know she ended up with Lumia's ship after we..." after I killed her. Jaina shook her head.
This was before your fight.
Luke's expression seemed more puzzled than shocked.
Roku Depot is between Kavan and Terrafon,
Jaina prompted.
Alima was right there. The timing was right, and she was in a very nasty mood. She killed half a dozen beings for no reason we could figure out.
Luke's brow shot up. So you think she... He let the sentence trail off, unable or unwilling to say it aloud. How solid is this?
Well, we do know that Alima likes to use poisons,
Jaina said.
That's how she killed two of those people on Roku. And Jag said that when he found her cave on Tanoop, it looked like she'd been making them for hunting and self-defense.
Luke closed his eyes, and his force aura trembled with anger and sorrow. After a few seconds, he nodded and started up the access ladder into his cockpit. It certainly seems to implicate her. Thank you, Jaina. I'm sure you'll bring her to justice. Jaina scowled.
Don't you mean we?
After my mistake with Lumia? Luke shook his head. It's better for someone else to handle this. Talk to the Council Masters if you need additional resources.
The Masters?
Jaina echoed. Now she felt sure there was something wrong.
What aren't you telling me about this mission?
Luke dropped into his cockpit. I haven't told you anything yet, as I recall.
Then it's time to change that.
Jaina grabbed the access ladder and pulled herself up until she was eye to eye with Luke.
I'm not letting you go until I know why you're acting this way.
It's nothing special, Luke said. A standard assault mission. We're going to soften up the Fifth Fleet so the Wookiees have a fighting chance to stop Jason's pyromania.
And?
Luke sighed. And I'm going to use the assault as a diversion to make a run at the Anakin Solo. Loey managed to drop a shadow bomb near the bridge, and we might drive it off with another hit. Maybe even take it out. Jaina dropped off the ladder.
I'm coming.
Great, Luke said. Tahiri seems to have disappeared. You can take her place in the Nightblades.
With you.
Jaina, I don't need...
The hell you don't!
Jaina turned back toward her own Stealth X.
And don't even think about trying to lose me. I'll blow out your droid socket faster than you can say sideslip.
R2-D2 screeched in protest, but if Luke voiced his consent, Jaina didn't hear it. She was already racing across the hangar toward her own Stealth X. The efficient ground crew had refueled the craft and topped off the laser cannon actuating gas. But Jaina had not been carrying heavy weapons when she arrived, and the Wookiees were just now preparing to stock the torpedo compartment.
Forget it, boys.
Jaina jumped onto the cockpit access ladder.
I don't think we're going to have time to load the shadow bombs, and it looks like I'm flying tail cover anyway.
Jaina had barely reattached her suit systems to the cockpit before the order came to launch. She closed her canopy, and once the ground chief had given her the okay, engaged her repulsor drives and spun around. The Stealth X's were just launching, a long line of black ghosts gliding out the hangar door, arcing up into the Rocheers and vanishing into the smoke. Most of the wing had departed before Jaina felt Luke touch her mind. She opened herself to the Force, expecting to join him in a combat meld. She felt only his outer presence, reluctant and unwelcoming, and even that quickly drew in on itself until she could barely tell it was there. There would be no emotional joining on this mission. He was not ready to share his pain with anyone. Jaina slid into line behind her uncle, wishing there was some way to comfort him through the Force, but knowing there wasn't. A few minutes later, they were climbing out of the smoke into the blue Kashyyyk sky. It was almost too early to call the battle a battle. The Wookiee fleet was still on the far side of the planet, just getting itself organized, and the Alliance's Fifth Fleet was hanging back beyond the gravity well to protect the Anakin Solo. The only actual hostilities taking place were the blue lines lancing out from the Anakin Solo's long-range batteries, blazing through the Kashyyyk atmosphere to burn what no one had ever thought necessary to defend. Jaina found herself alternately hating her brother and mourning his loss, trying to understand what the Yuuzhan Vong could have done to him, or what could have happened to him during his 5-year sojourn to turn him so horribly evil. Could he really believe the efflux he spouted about protecting the Alliance against terrorist elements, like their own parents? After all of the torture and loss he had suffered, did he feel so threatened by the ever-changing nature of the galaxy that the only way he could feel secure was by controlling it? Ultimately, Jaina knew what had changed her brother didn't matter. He'd become another emperor, and he simply had to be stopped. It broke her heart, but the only thing that counted now was putting an end to his madness. If Jason survived, maybe he could be redeemed, as Kip had been after he destroyed the Corita system. But if not, well, there was no need to consider that possibility. It simply wasn't important now. Jaina felt Luke chiding her through the Force, demanding that she pay attention. Embarrassed by her uncharacteristic lack of focus, she glanced out the canopy and found no reason for the rebuke. The Fifth Fleet was dead ahead, floating between them and the Anakin Solo's flashing turbo lasers, a field of white speckles interlaced with the tiny blue filaments of starfighter ion tails. Then Jaina felt it, a pressure building in the Force, a sensation of imminent arrival. Several thousand kilometers to one side of the fleet, crooked snakes of iridescence began to dance between the stars. Immediately a message scrolled across the primary display, reporting the arrival of a large fleet.
"No kidding," Jaina said. "Whose fleet?"
"Unknown. Classifying vessels now." Jaina's question was answered an instant later, when a volley of green dashes erupted from the new arrivals and blossomed against the shields of the Fifth Fleet.
"Bothan," Sneaker answered.
Corvette and light cruiser designator symbols began to populate the edge of the tactical display. "Sensor analysis confirms manufacture."
"Bothan?"
Jaina was incredulous. The Bothans were the last species she would have expected to come rushing to the Wookiee's aid.
"Are you sure?"
"No. Correlation is only 98.76%, Sneaker informed her. "Damage from recent engagement prevents certitude." Jaina scowled inside her helmet. The damage profile suggested the Bothans had broken away from the Battle of Kuat to come defend Kashyyyk.
"It doesn't make sense," she said to herself. "What are they doing here?"
"Attacking us."
"Not us," Jaina told the droid. "You need to realign your friend or foe identification files. We've sort of changed sides."
"So they are friendlies?"
"Maybe," Jaina said. "We'll have to ask Luke later."
"Neutrals?" the droid persisted.
"Close enough."
The Fifth Fleet began to return fire, focusing Alliance attention on the Bothans and making it even more unlikely that the fleet would notice the stealth X's coming. Feelings of guilt and sorrow permeated the Force as the Jedi began to realize how easy their run was going to be, how many of their friends and acquaintances they would soon be killing in cold blood. Jaina felt her own throat tightening, and found herself struggling to blink away tears. For a time she had flown with the Fifth against the Yuuzhan Vong, and many of the beings she had met then were still serving with it. They were good people, brave, loyal, kind, and it didn't seem right that so many would die today at Jedi hands. But what could the Masters do? Let Jason burn Kashyyyk to a cinder? By the time the stealth X's had drawn near enough to worry about being spotted visually, the Fifth Fleet was fully engaged against the Bothans. Both sides were pouring starfighters into the void and hurling turbolaser fire back and forth between them. With her naked eye, Jaina could see tiny balls of orange limning the hulls of many Alliance vessels ahead. On her tactical display, Bothan corvettes were blinking yellow, red, then vanishing almost faster than Sneaker could update the data. All too soon, the Fifth Fleet started to spread across Jaina's canopy. Its vessels began to assume identifiable shapes, the wedges of star destroyers, the fist-headed cylinders of heavy frigates, the sleek curves of Mon Calamari cruisers. The stealth X-wings split into six squadrons and angled toward different areas of the fleet. Jaina and Luke fell in with the Nightblades and followed Saba Sebatine toward the Vulnerator, an old Victory-class star destroyer that had been in service as long as Jaina's parents. The Vulnerator and its two escort frigates swelled rapidly in the forward canopy, their shields glimmering gold with turbolaser energy. When the vessels did not lose so much as a blaster bolt at the approaching Jedi, Jaina began to think it might have been better to have the stealth X's simply sneak through the Fifth Fleet's protective shell and swarm the Anakin Solo. Then a chill raced down her spine, and the Nightblades began to scatter. Space exploded into clouds of fiery brilliance in every direction, and Jaina's stealth X bucked so hard she could not read her displays. Crash webbing bit into her shoulders, and damage alarms began to beep, alerting her to a multitude of problems she had no time to register. She sensed Luke diving to one side and jammed the stick over, following, then breathed a sigh of relief when the starfighter actually responded.
"How bad is it, Sneaker?"
The droid sent a report to the primary display. The way the cockpit was bouncing, it was just jumping lights.
"Can't read it," she said.
"Are we holding together?"
Sneaker tootled an affirmative answer that sounded vaguely like, "for now." Another volley of crimson blossoms opened around them, many laced together by flashing lines of cannon bolts. The Vulnerator had anticipated their attack, waiting until the stealth X's had drawn close enough to spot. Then, and this was the smart part, the part that required discipline only the Alliance Space Navy could instill, the gunners had held their fire until all stations had acquired the target. Luke was weaving through the storm almost effortlessly, slipping away from turbolaser strikes half a second before they blossomed, ducking cannon bolts as though he had a telepathic connection to the gunner's mind. And maybe he did, for all Jaina knew. She had thought she had a fair understanding of his force abilities, but if his flying was any example, he hadn't revealed half of what he could do. Maybe not even a quarter. She concentrated on staying behind him, trying to follow the silhouette of his stealth X as it darted through the fiery curtain surrounding them. Often she could see only the faint glow of his ion engines before their efflux turned dark, and sometimes her only sense of his location came through the Force. It did not take long for her cockpit to stop bucking despite the barrage, and she was finally able to read the damage report Sneaker had put on the display earlier. 3.
3 what?
Jaina asked. It certainly wasn't engines. She would never have been able to keep up with Luke with 3 engines out. 3 casualties, Sneaker reported. You wanted to know how bad the first strike was. Jaina gasped into her oxygen mask. Clearly, the Vulnerator had developed a very effective technique for dealing with stealth fighters. If a Star Destroyer could take out 3 Nightblades in an opening salvo, the usefulness of stealth-equipped attack fighters was going to be very limited indeed.
What about our other squadrons? Jaina asked. Were they hit as hard as the Nightblades?
Insufficient data to reply, Sneaker reported. Nightblade casualty count is based on observed craft detonations. Since stealth X's have no sensor signature...
Right,
Jaina interrupted.
You have no way of telling.
She glanced at the tactical display and found the rest of the Fifth's star destroyers encased in envelopes of short-range turbolaser fire. If the other stealth X squadrons had suffered as many casualties as the Nightblades, the Jedi had just lost a quarter of their fighter wing. Jaina reached out in the Force, hoping to join the nearest combat meld and discover that the situation wasn't so bad, and recoiled from the disapproval Luke sent boiling her way. She quickly drew back in on herself and, thinking he was actually having to hold back so she could keep up, concentrated on staying on his tail. When Luke did not increase the sharpness of his maneuvers and came perilously close to flying them into a fireball, she finally realized that his reason for shunning the combat meld earlier had nothing to do with concealing his pain. Luke was hiding from Jason. Jason was the reason the Fifth was so prepared, why they seemed to be expecting the Stealth X attack, even with the distraction provided by the arrival of the Bothan fleet. Jason had been looking for the Jedi combat meld. Jaina was still contemplating this when the Vulnerator retargeted its batteries and space turned dark again. She checked the tactical display and found the entire Fifth Fleet shifting fire back toward the approaching Bothans. A handful of Star Destroyer symbols were blinking yellow for damaged, but all in all, the Stealth X attack had been a terrible failure. Just how the Masters might plan it if they wanted to minimize Alliance casualties while Luke slipped through to take out Jason. That would certainly explain Luke's behavior before launch. If he were planning to try something as reckless as taking out a Star Destroyer alone, it might be reasonable to think someone else would have to avenge his wife's death. And he wouldn't want his niece tailing along. And if she insisted, rather than risk getting her killed too, he might try to lose her at the last instant.
"Not going to happen, Uncle."
Jaina tightened up, coming in so close that she could see R2-D2's dome blinking. Luke seemed to sense what she was doing, or what she was worried about, and gave a little wing waggle. Then he drew in his force presence so tightly that she could no longer find it. She thought at first he was mocking her, but quickly realized he was showing her what to do. She pulled her own presence so close that Jason would have to be sitting in the cockpit to sense her. Luke gave another wing waggle. They left the Fifth Fleet behind, descending toward the flashing beams of turbolaser light that were all they could see of the Anakin Solo. It disgusted Jaina more than ever to have Jason's flagship named for their younger brother. It was just a name, but it was a name that had stood for something good, and she knew she would feel a pang of regret when they began their attack run. Something else to make Jason pay for, if he survived. The Anakin Solo itself began to appear a moment later, a hand-sized wedge briefly silhouetted whenever a distant turbolaser strike blossomed in the right place. With the dome of a gravity generator bulging beneath its belly and a cloaking cone rising midway down its spine, the profile would have been unmistakable, even had there been another matte black Star Destroyer running around the galaxy. The flashes of silhouette grew rapidly larger as Jaina and Luke approached, until it became a fixed stain against the stars. Jaina watched in disbelief as it expanded to the size of a bantha. And still the Anakin Solo did not open fire. Unless the visual lookouts were asleep or blind, they had to have noticed the Stealth X's streaking toward their vessel by now. Even if the two starfighters were not being silhouetted against the Crimson Fury behind them, they would still be eclipsing and revealing stars at a furious rate, painting a black smear across the blue-speckled void. Luke must have been thinking the same thing, because he suddenly began to juke and jink so furiously that Jaina could hardly stay on his tail. Sneaker filled the cockpit speakers with screeches and whistles, flashing strain readouts and overload warnings across the primary display too fast to read, even had she dared to look. Still, Luke pushed his Stealth X harder, accelerating into a wild series of rolls that made her suspect it was the Force instead of bolts and welds holding his craft together. Jaina didn't even try to match his maneuvers, contenting herself to remain generally behind him in a covering position. The Anakin Solo swelled until all she could see was a mountain of black durasteel, and she began to hope, to believe, even, that they had somehow sneaked up on the Star Destroyer. Maybe. Just maybe Luke had been disguising their approach with some force skill she didn't even know existed. Maybe they'd be able to swing alongside Jason's abomination of a flagship unopposed, then roll up onto its top hull and launch Luke's shadow bombs without meeting any resistance at all. And that was when the lock alarms broke out screeching. Jaina's seat slammed into her from behind as a salvo of cannonbolts blew down her rear shields and started chewing through her thin Stealth X armor. There was no need to roll out, because she lost control and tumbled toward the Anakin Solo, then ricocheted off its particle shields and began to tumble toward a dark cube that, when she caught glimpses of it, looked perilously like an idle turbolaser turret. Jaina slammed one control pedal to the floor and released the other, jerking the stick back to her belly and hitting the thrusters. The Stealth X accelerated into something that resembled control, and she was relieved to find herself streaking starward instead of into a black expanse of Durasteel.
"Damage report," she snapped.
The order came by instinct. Then, also by instinct, the question.
"What happened?"
She looped into a dive and read Sneaker's response. "Rear shield generators overloaded and destroyed. Number 3 ion engine destroyed. Rear accessory mount destroyed. Damage caused by multiple laser cannon strikes."
"I figured that," Jaina said. "Where'd they—"
She let the question trail off as the dark plane of the Anakin Solo's hull drifted back into view, and she saw where the attack had come from. Luke was attempting to roll onto the top side of the Star Destroyer, still juking and jinking as he tried to position himself for an attack run on the bridge. A few hundred meters behind him and closing fast, a second Stealth X was pouring bolts in his direction, angling its fire so Luke could not rise above the Anakin Solo's midline without crossing into a stream of death.
"Jason!"
"Insufficient data to determine pilot identity," Sneaker informed her.
"He knew!"
Jaina ignored the droid's message and pointed her nose after the two Stealth X's. There hadn't been enough time since their departure from Kashyyyk for Jason to suit up and launch. He had to have been waiting for Luke to come after him.
"He knew the whole plan!"
Jaina's forward canopy erupted into a storm of color as the Anakin Solo's close defense gunners caught sight of her. She opened the throttles wide and held her own triggers down, relying on her forward shields far more than anyone in a Stealth X should, trusting to the Force and her own quick reflexes to keep her shieldless tail in one piece. As her Stealth X sizzled and pinged with cannon hits, Jaina dropped over the hull's edge and slipped in behind her uncle and brother. The enemy fire faded to a trickle of snapshots. With the three Stealth X's flying in such close formation, the Alliance gunners were afraid of hitting their commander. Jaina locked her sights on Jason and fired. He anticipated and slipped in the opposite direction, and one of her bolts lit up Luke's rear shields. Jason dropped back in and added another three hits for good measure, then dodged aside as Jaina fired again. This time, one of her bolts burned through and disappeared into an engine. There was a flash and a puff of smoke. Luke's Stealth X seemed to skid and bounce off the Anakin Solo's shields. Then, to Jaina's utter astonishment, it rolled over Jason's fire and disappeared onto the upper hull. Jaina managed to stitch a line of bolts across Jason's upper shields as he pursued. Then she followed and found herself struggling to keep up as they streaked past the cloaking cone toward the cratered superstructure of the bridge. She pressed her triggers. Again Jason slipped her fire, and again the bolts only added to Luke's problems. Her brother seemed to anticipate every shot before she took it.
"This'll never work," she growled.
Jaina reached out to Luke, trying to draw him into a combat meld, and found only Jason's presence, powerful and dark and mocking. "She had no business flying here against real pilots," he seemed to be saying. "She ought to be back at the academy looking after the young ones." Jason's Stealth X dropped back into her sights. She felt her fingers depressing the triggers, then sensed a dark chuckle in the back of her mind, and realized he was goading her. Then she heard Luke's voice, clearly, as though it were coming over a comm speaker. "Do it!" She felt him urging her to fire. "Lock 'em down!" Jaina depressed all four triggers and held them. Jason jinked out of the way, taking a wing hit that sent a laser cannon spinning away, and Jaina found herself looking at the stern of Luke's Stealth X, watching in relief as it veered away from her line of cannon bolts. Then Luke's damaged engine erupted in flames. The Stealth X seemed to skid, veering back into Jaina's line of fire, and a blast of surprise and panic shot through the force. She released the triggers instantly, but a quartet of bolts was already leaping from the tips of her cannons. They caught Luke dead in the stern, chewing through the damaged armor in a flaming eye blink. The force boiled with anguish, and then Jaina was flying through a fireball that had once been a starfighter. She pulled up more by instinct than because she wanted to avoid crashing. Had there been time to think about it, she might well have flown her battered Stealth X straight into the looming mass of the Anakin Solo's bridge, because this was one mission from which she truly did not want to return. Luke Skywalker was dead, and Jaina had shot him down.